have ignition.
We have ignition, but there's...
Oh.
Well, no... Wow. Oh,
silent.
Say, can you see?
It stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
With liberty and justice for all. Good evening, Global Patriots. You're listening to Global Patriot Radio, the Vito Esposito Show. I'm Vito. Our call number tonight in every Global Patriot Radio night is area code 319-527-6706. Area code 319-527-6706. And I'm joined by that great American, Big Al. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great, Vito. Good to be here as always. And hopefully this is not dead air and BTR's platform is working halfway decently, but we will see.
Yes, we will see. And, last week, unfortunately, thanks to technical difficulties, the show was not able to air. Actually, the whole week, shows were not able to air, including Saturday evening and with Osama Dakduk, and yesterday, Hank Jones at Poly Sports and his special show. So today, we'll see. It looks like it may come. It may happen. You may be actually listening to us live and unedited.
Maybe. Or BTR had parallel damage after Israeli bombs took out Nasrallah. It might have damaged BTR's platform. So I'm glad that they got that fixed. Those damn Israelis.
Those damn Israelis. They're screwing up everything. I mean, what's going on here? Well, they didn't screw up the this past weekend's President's Cup, which was held in Montreal, Canada. And it pits the United States men against the international team, less Great Britain, Ireland, and Europe. European players. It's actually all those players outside of that. Captain of the American team was veteran Hall of Famer Jim Furyk, and of the international team it was Canadian Mike Weir. And the reason Mike Weir was chosen was because it was held in Canada, Montreal. And it was actually pretty good. It was close until Sunday's individual match play, and it's a two-man team, four two-man teams Friday and Saturday, one in the afternoon, one in the morning, and then on Sunday, all 12 players meet in a head-to-head match, and they play for at least 1 point or half a point to 1 point against their opponent, and the United States team did dominate in the singles matches, which they took a lead of 10 10 points versus 6 points into Sunday's match, individual match, and in the end, the United States men, the U.S. men, did very well, and they actually scored 8.5 points, and the international team could only muster up 3.5 points. And there was some controversy during the Friday and Saturday tournament match play event with the two-man match play teams. And it was led by Korean Tom Kim, who was paired with fellow Korean Siwoo Kim against Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay, American player. So what happened was, see, in a match play, and this started with the Ryder Cup, which was, I don't want to bore you with details, but it was the Europeans, it was the Great Britain and Ireland versus the United States, and it goes back like 50, 60 years. So in order for the European or the international players and non-Europeans to get involved, they decided to come up with this thing called the President's Cup. And one thing you do in match play is that you do gamemanship. And you know, if you play golf, you know that if you play in Saturday golf with some friends or just some casual golf, and they say, you know, you hit a putt up to within a foot of the cup or 2 feet of the cup, and they say, that's good, pick it up. You pick it up, and you move to the next hole. Well, in match play, you can't do that unless your opponent says, gives you the right to not. You can leave a three-foot putt, and the opposing team can say, that's good, pick it up, and walk away. Or the opposing team could make you putt that putt, because you know what? Anybody can miss a 3 foot putt. Just ask Bernard Langer. Okay. Anybody can miss a 3 foot putt. It happens to us all. So Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele are playing Tom Kim and Siwoo Kim, and Siwoo Kim hits a putt. It's 3 feet short of the pin. So, you know, Tom Kim is the youngest player in the PGA right now. And so Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay did not cede the putt. They did not concede the putt. They wanted Kim to putt it out. And Kim took exception to that. You know, and one of the things you do is, in order to justify you picking up the putt, is that you lay your putter down. And if the ball is between your grip and the putter head, it's usually considered good, a gimme. Well, they didn't do that. And you know what? In match play, if Tom Kim misses it, the Americans win the hole. That could be the difference between being one down to going even or even going to one up. And so Tom Kim took exception to that. And then later, after the round was over, Tom Kim allegedly he stated that someone allegedly cursed at him from the American team. And I just don't see Xander Schauffele or Patrick Cantlay cursing at little Tom Kim and Siwoo Kim. I don't see anybody on the American team doing that. And so that led to some controversy, and it's something that made it a little bit more entertaining, if one would say. But the U.S. team captain by Jim Furyk won each of Saturday's sessions by a 3-1 margin and pulled away with an 8.5 of 12 points in the Sunday singles, leading the decisive victory of 18.5 to 11.5 over Mike Weir's captain international team in Weir's native Canada. So congratulations to the United States team. The United States retains the President's Cup, and I think in 2 years, the President's Cup will be in the United States, and there'll be a new captain that will be chosen. So, and poor Tom Kim, you know, on Friday, Tom Kim sinks, or I think it was Siwoo Kim, somebody sunk on his partner sinks a 45-foot putt for a birdie. Now, World No. 1 Scotty Scheffler is only like about 20 feet away for his birdie. And listen, Kim's teammate drops a bomb, and Kim just, he's yelling, and he just screams at the top of his lungs, looks at Schauffele, at Scheffler, and he's screaming. So Scheffler composes himself, and he drains the putt. And just as the putt is going in, I don't know if you saw it, Scheffler starts screaming, "Yeah, that's right!" You know, and he turns around, listen, and Kim smiled. And that's good. That, you know, that's a little bit trying to get each other's head. Yeah, and they're friends. But you know what?
They play at the same club.
Huh?
Hmm? They weren't friends, according to Tom Kim, this past weekend. So,
well, that's competition at the highest
right.
level, but still, they're buddies. So, and they play every weekend, from what I hear, and they bet heavily, and they trash talk each other, and
yep.
like regular guys do.
It's kind of funny, and you know, it's good gamesmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And but you know, Tom Kim. I guess he has to grow up a little bit and understand that that's what happens in those type of events. It's happened in the Ryder Cup. It happens all the time in the Ryder Cup. The ladies were in Arkansas for the Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship and came out to a playoff between Taiwan's Jasmine Suanapru. Hurrah. And Lucy Lee of the United States. It took two playoff holes, and Jasmine Suanapur came out the victor. She birdied, she eagled the par 5 18th hole, and Lucy Lee could only muster a birdie, and that gave Jasmine of Thailand the win, and at 17 under par, and congratulations to the ladies. It was a pretty good tournament. That it's a classic too. The Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship is a staple on the LPGA Tour. So it was nice to see the ladies square off, and it's a good tournament.
Yep, I missed it, but that's an exciting finish. An eagle versus a birdie. You do not see that very often. So. Congratulations to our Thai woman golfer, whose name we cannot pronounce.
I'm going to get this, buddy. Suanapura. There you go. So in NBA news, just really quick, and this is a Hank Jones actual topic, but today, unfortunately, it's sad to say that retired basketball player Dikembe Mutombo passed away at the age of 58 years old. Mutombo died from brain cancer. And before the NBA went woke, I got to say Dikembe Mutombo was a character of basketball. And he was fun to watch. He played for the Houston Rockets, I believe, and Atlanta Hawks. And he was a very good player. Also has an NBA championship, and Mutombo dedicated himself to humanitarian causes in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So he was a very good humanitarian. He was good for the game of basketball. And if you remember the era in which there was Shaquille O'Neal, Mutombo was part of that era. And he also used to wave his finger when he did a nice block. You know, he'd point his pointer finger, and he would wave it like the soup Nazi on on Seinfeld. So love the guy,
yeah.
Man.
He will be missed. Great athlete. Good for the game.
Yeah, bring it on, boy. Boy remembers him. Yeah. No, no, no. Walking, waving the finger, going no, no, no. Spot on, boy. that's sad. And Chris Kristofferson died at the age of 88 years old this past Wednesday.
Yeah.
Hard to believe. Wow, 88. God.
Yep. Great musician. Good actor.
Yeah. 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 And he had that gruff voice.
Yeah, and Holger's team is in the news, the Minnesota Vikings. They are now 4-0 with a fantastic 31-29 win over Green Bay. So congratulations
Ooh.
To Holger's Vikings.
Wow.
And then Minnesota has a negative story coming up later. So they're 1-1, Minnesota, or Minneapolis.
Yeah. I haven't been watching much of professional football, but
it's hard.
It's a good start, though. Good start. I think right on cue, I think Hank Jones is on the line. Let's put Hank on. Good evening, Hank. How you doing?
Good, guys. Mamma mia.
Mamma mia.
Hey.
I just had to listen and see. Fortunately or unfortunately, I didn't get a. We don't have any tours tonight, so I figured I better listen. and make sure Blog Talk Radio is working anyway. But I got a call you got on the Christofferson, good actor. He did do Convoy, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did.
Did he not? Yeah. So we're gonna have to temper that good actor with had his moments. How's that? Can we go with had his moments?
Was it North Dallas 40 he was also in, and also
he was not
Steven
in North,
Seagal.
North Dallas 40 was Mac Davis.
Mac
same
Davis.
Thing. Mac Davis and Nick Nolte.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah,
well, I occasionally listen to the Chris Christofferson channel on Pandora.
Okay,
and when I'm playing golf every now and then, and some good country music there. So,
do you want to know a song that he wrote that many may not know about? He loaned it to the artist who made it famous.
The Me and Bobby McGee.
Correctamundo. Correctamundo.
Oh.
Yeah. He wrote that one. So,
I
was sleeping with Barbara Streisand, so you got to give him.
Okay.
I don't know how he managed that.
That's minus 58 points, but I'm sorry. But she he didn't know what was good for him though, so he didn't know what was best for him. So she did.
Well,
so
she may be a big libtard, but she was quite the musical talent.
Absolutely
annoying as she is,
talent.
She did have a good voice.
Yes, she did. That's correct. She did. She did have.
And
a
her
voice.
Nose is bigger than mine, so I always hope you're hanging out with her.
Her nose is pretty much, other than David Brenner, she pretty much beats anyone in that department. So
that is true. Good David Brenner reference out of nowhere. Awesome.
So you know,
I love David Brenner.
Come up with him when you can. David Brenner, a poor man's Gary Shandling is what he was.
Yeah, he was funny. He was great. He was great on the Carson show. I watched the clips.
He definitely was. But Shandling was even better. So you know.
So hey, what do you think about the White Sox? The White Sox Hall of Shame, going 41-121. Not since the 1962 Mets. As a team at 120 losses in one season.
So here's the irony there. So this past summer, my wife and I went to Chicago for my all-class reunion. It was one of those deals where every class was invited because of, we missed so many during COVID. So we were there, and we couldn't, there's no Cubs aren't in town, no preseason Bears yet. So my wife says, well, what about the White Sox? And I was like, yeah, what? Why not? And they were playing Pittsburgh. Well, she loves all things Pittsburgh. That's where she graduated from high school. It was in the Pittsburgh area. So she's like, oh, the Pirates. Oh, let's go. In addition to the fact that certain parts of Chicago, as you know, are absolute crap holes, we did pull off some Al's Italian Beef that day, so there's that. But, I mean, the White Sox are simply just – I mean, it was painful to – I mean – Each successive guy was getting up to bat, you're looking at their season average, and it's like, no way. And you're top to bottom. They're just. I mean, it's literally. You talk about the 1962 Mets. It's like watching 1972 or 73 Iowa Hawkeyes with Frank Lauterbach going 0-11. I mean, it was brutal. It was brutal to have to sit through that.
Yeah, last week I was going to talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes. What a tough defeat. That was a good game.
We didn't lose last week.
Oh, wait. That's right. You won, barely.
Yeah, we were down 14-7 at half and scored 24 unanswered points.
Right.
Minnesota. Is that the other Minnesota reference, Tim Walz, or not?
Oh, no, this is Minneapolis celebrates their first non-citizen police officer in the country. But that's a whole other cluster F.
Yeah, it is. Well, that whole state's become a cluster F, so what can you say? So, hey, I'll let you guys go. I just wanted to call in on the Chris Christofferson, and glad that the show's up tonight. So we'll talk to you guys later.
All right,
Hank,
man,
before you run.
Easy.
Hank, before you run. Georgia-Alabama game. Did you get a chance to watch that?
I've watched pieces of it. I had a big group tour Saturday night, and as you know,
yeah.
when Paul Feinbaum comes on in advance and says this will be the most historic moment ever, shit like that, it's kind of like, okay, well, we're gonna have to sit this one out for just DVR it, you know, which I did. And I gotta say, Georgia, their comeback was awesome, but as often happens when a team has to come back like that, they just don't have enough left in the tank at the end, and they didn't. And Jalen Milroe for Alabama is clearly a Heisman front runner.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's just a great quarterback. So, but great game, no doubt. But, I mean, everybody's saying, oh, it's the best ever. And Paul Feinbaum's like, you know, I mean, Paul Feinbaum's thinking this trumps the Nuremberg trials for humanitarian triumph. And I'm like, okay, dude, no.
You
know, well, so.
Down 37 at halftime. That's a hell of a comeback.
Yeah, it was a hell of a comeback. But, I don't know how good Texas is. I don't know how good Ohio State is. We'll find out this Saturday when the Hawkeyes go in there. And probably we're only a 23.5-point underdog at this point. So, Hawkeye fans, man, keep your chin up.
Take the points.
Yeah, this is like the one time, well, lately this year it's changed, but this is like the one time in an Iowa game when you bet the over. You just do. So.
Well, we'll be watching, Hank.
Sounds good, guys. We'll talk to you
All
later.
All right, be safe out there.
Absolutely. Bye.
All righty.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that Alabama-Georgia game was – I was stunned. I was stunned by the
score. Did you watch it?
I was watching it, and I turned it on. I went, oh, man, I'm sure Georgia's ahead, like, you know, 21-0. And I turned it, and it was like 21-3. It's like, what the hell happened here? You know? It's like, whoa.
I got it. Yeah, I got to tell you, at halftime, it looked like it was going to be a blowout, so I switched channels. I can't remember what I was watching. I think it might have been an old Terminator or something, and then I come back to the game, and it's almost tied, 30-28. I'm like, holy crap, this is going to be a great game. And sure enough, Georgia comes back, takes the lead momentarily, and then the next series, with 20 seconds left on the clock, interception, game over.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I give props to Alabama. I didn't think they had it. They didn't have it in them. I thought Kirby Smart still was going to field a, you know, much better team.
Yep. If I was going to bet money, I would have put it on the Bulldogs, and I would have lost money.
Well, if you want to bet some money, I would bet on a great blog. And if you all out there are listening, please check out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a fantastic blog by Bigfoot, who's in the chat room right now. He likes to provide pictures of his travels, and I gotta say, his travels are very educating, and love the pictures that he provided from Winslow, Arizona. I'm sorry, I was hoping he would have put a flatbed Ford, but in Winslow, Arizona, he has a picture of the twin arrows and two guns, and continued eastward to a place that is very much active and famous because of a song. But before I went to Winslow, most well known for corner, I found a place to park on First Street, along which extends the First Street Pathway Park. The park includes these art cars. And there is a picture of an old VW Bug painted in Winslow. And there's also another vehicle. And I'm sorry, I don't know what it is. It might be a 57 Chevy. Another photo was abandoned places along Interstate 40, and that was the stopping at two places, which used to be points of interest in a sense, still are. What I mean is that they've been abandoned, just about everyone except graffiti artists and explorers. And I'd say that I've fallen into the latter category. The first used to be the Twin Arrows Trading Post, and it's a picture, a giant arrow sticking into the ground, or sticking out of the ground, I should say. That was pretty cool. Jerome, Arizona, he has some photos. He drove from Sedona to Jerome, and it was the Haunted Hamburger Restaurant, and the Tsutsi Goot National Monument. And you can see some, he took a picture of from a, he's standing on a steps looking up. You got to take a look at that. It's pretty good there. Today, I visited a Pueblo ruin in Tutsugut, located on a hill about 20 miles west of Sedona. So if you want a good history lesson, and it's an American history lesson, man, when Big does his travels, he does a good job in taking photos and giving us a brief history lesson. Today I drove around Sedona, took a few pics of the area. This rock south of the city is called Courthouse Butte. So, or Butte. So it's pretty cool. It's a good color photo and picture of the courthouse Butte. So Twin Arrows Trading Post,
yeah,
only has one arrow left. Oh,
beautiful.
You've
town,
been to Sedona?
Sedona? Yep, a couple times. Beautiful.
So thanks, Big, for that. Also, hello to Bring It On Boy, Ducky Northwest. Say hello to Texas Ron and also to Sue from New Mexico. And James also sends his regards to Sue. And thank you, Hank, for the call. So while we were gone, while BTR was down, some of you may have, I'm only going to bring up a little bit of this, is the U.S. media is in the tank for the Democrat National Committee, and the Kamala Harris, I guess, love fest continues, although Americans are finally seeing through the facade of the weak and basically feckless Kamala Harris. But she was on the billionaire Oprah Winfrey show. So the billionaire Oprah Winfrey decided that she was going to interview, in a fluff interview, Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris made a comment during the interview. And she said, and I quote, she looked at the billionaire Oprah and said, you know, a democracy, if you can keep it. She was speaking about the government and about this coming election. What does this mean in this upcoming election? And if it's a democracy, if you can keep it. The only problem is Benjamin Franklin never uttered those words. Benjamin Franklin, one of our founders, one of America's founders who helped write the U.S. Constitution, when he was asked, what type of government did you give us, as he was walking out of Constitutional Hall, he looked at the individual and said, a republic, if you can keep it. And today, what we have here is a dementia-riddled old man, Joe Biden, and a chameleon, Kamala Harris, a communist, who are desperately seeking to change and rewrite American history. Rewrite the preamble of the U.S. Constitution, as Joe Biden has done on several occasions. You know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created. Of course, Joe Biden wants to rephrase that, and he rewrites it to all men and women are equal. And that's not what the U.S. Constitution, that's not what the Bill of Rights, it's not what the Declaration of Independence says. And then you have the phony and the fraudulent Kamala Harris sitting with the billionaire Oprah Winfrey, who is kissing, you know, chameleon's ass, and wants to give this theatrical, like goddess-like look, okay, like something like Kamala is such a goddess, you know. Word salad Harris is nothing but an embarrassment. And she has been. I mean, back in March of 2024, you had, you know, people like, we're talking about real big Democrat Party operatives calling for Kamala Harris to withdraw from the ticket because she was a liability to the Democrat Party. And here you got Kamala Harris live on orchestrated TV making a statement about this election and misquoting our founders by saying a democracy if you can keep it. And that's not what Benjamin Franklin stated. And, you know, I play this, I've played this clip almost weekly from Agent Dan Smoot. In 1966, the government, the FBI, when there was patriotism, okay, inside of our federal government, there were patriots of the FBI who knew through the subversion of language, there were some who were trying to strip away our constitutional rights. They were trying to dismantle our Constitution in favor of communism, in favor of socialism. And it was through this subversion of language that this attempt is being made and being done. And once again, Kamala Harris is using the subversion of language to misrepresent and to intentionally deceive the American people. America is not a democracy. It is a constitutional republic. Our founders, 247 years ago, were concerned about a total democracy. They did not want America to be based on a democracy, and it's why they came up with a constitutional republic. Individual freedoms and liberties. You can't have it both ways. Have a total democracy with individual liberties and freedoms. It doesn't work that way. And as Agent Dan Smoot stated, a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship. And it is why Chameleon Harris refers to America as a democracy. It's why Barack Hussein, Satoru Obama continually refers to America as a democracy. It is why Nancy Pelosi continues to call America a democracy. It's why Dementia Joe Biden calls America a democracy, because they want a dictatorship.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
The totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our government. And it is why Chameleon Harris and Tim Walz, two devout fundamental Marxists, continue to subvert America's language and call America a democracy. And it's all by design, because they know a democracy will degenerate into a dictatorship. They don't believe in individual rights. They don't believe in individual freedoms. And we've watched since 2001, we've watched our individual freedoms and liberties erode and erode rapidly. Kamala Harris is a fraud. The entire Democrat Party is fraudulent. The United States media, they should be embarrassed by their display. Their display of partisanship. Their actions of partisanship. The flat out and flamboyant lies that they continue to tell. The Democrat Party operatives getting on TV and talking about falsely stating that Trump's Agenda 2025 will do this, will do that, will disband FEMA and climate change. You know, and the thing is that it doesn't matter that President Trump has stated that Agenda 2025 was not written by me. It was written by a conservative think tank. It is not my agenda. Now, if Chameleon Harris states that, well, the UN Agenda 2030 is not mine, then it would be the end of the story, and the U.S. media would come to her defense. But not with President Trump. The mission of the U.S. media today is to make sure that President Trump does not get reelected. They have tremendous disdain for anybody and everybody who supports President Trump. Hence why they've come up with the MAGA monocle. And imagine, making America great is a bad thing. You know, making America less dependent on foreign sources and bringing manufacturing back to the United States is a bad thing. Oh, well, you know what? President Trump has a track record, and it was bringing manufacturing back to America. We don't want electric vehicles. We don't want the federal government to mandate along agenda, the United Nations Agenda 2030, that we must do away with fossil fuel and you must do away with electric cars. You know, that's the World Economic Forum agenda as well. Do away with fossil fuel cars and make people buy electric cars or start taking mass transportation or walk. That's the agenda of the World Economic Forum. That's the agenda of Joe Biden. That's the agenda of Kamala Harris. And yet the U.S. media is a disgrace because they don't call the question Kamala Harris's feckless belief system. They don't call the question Kamala Harris' failed border czar tenure. Suddenly, this year, in this month, in September and October, okay, you've got Kamala Harris is going to be resolving the border crisis issue. Really? She caused the border crisis. Joe Biden caused the border crisis. Not only that, you use taxpayer money to fly illegal aliens from Central and South America into the United States. We know for a fact in Springfield, Ohio, the Biden-Harris regime transported and transplanted 20,000 Haitians directly into Springfield, Ohio. Now think about this. No one's even talking about this. 20% of the population of Springfield, Ohio was changed overnight, over a couple of months. 20% infusion of people into Springfield, Ohio. And you wonder why services are scarce. Services have been strangled. Services have been, the resources have been hampered and hamstrung because 20% of the population was infused into Springfield, Ohio. And then the media did their best to sanitize the fact of what Haitians are doing inside of Springfield, Ohio, including rounding up cats and using them for food. You mean they can't even be honest, because it would be a damning thing for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, because they can't paint Kamala Harris in a bad light. She doesn't go to the border for 3.5 years. And then last week she does a border photo op. And now we're also finding out they photoshopped the photo op, because some of the Border Patrol agents who were depicted in the photos weren't there. They were at a border symposium in San Diego, California. So they couldn't have been there the day in which the photos were said to be shot. So they can't even be freaking honest about that. Yet the U.S. media can take a probe, okay, and probe Donald Trump's ass and his entire colon to look for things that aren't there and then manufacture items. And yet, they don't call the question the poor leadership of the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. She has been a liability to the Democrat Party. She has been a liability to the United States of America. She does not believe in individual liberties and freedoms. She believes in authoritarian rule. She believes in dictatorship. Her own father was a devout communist. We've already seen and heard the word salad over the last 3 years of her saying nothing and trying to be relevant. She's changed her colors more than the chameleon changes their colors. She's changed her position on fracking. She's changed her position on the border. She's changed her position on price gauging. You know, only a Marxist would do that. And yet now she's being embraced, and she speaks so clearly in it. And you know, you don't look at a person's agenda; you look at their character. Well, you want to talk about Kamala Harris's character? She was giving blowjobs to the mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown, a married man. She was banging a married man. There's a great value system to project. Who knows what else she used? Was she with P. Diddy? We don't know because the media is silent. She was one of the black guy's ladies of the evening, Montel Williams. Yet, we don't hear anything about her prior indiscretions. What a role model. Can't even speak in plain English. Can't even be honest with what her positions are. You want to look at her track record? Let's look at their track record. Just take the last 3.5 years is a great indication of how poorly she would be as president of the United States. And God forbid she's elected president. Or the only way that she could be elected, in my opinion, would be if they cheated. She is unappealing. She was given one job in March of 2021. One job task. And that was to be border czar. And at the time, there wasn't 25 million illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens pouring through our borders. There were tens of thousands who were coming through, and the number was probably a million at that point, just in 3 months. But she failed. She failed. Did she go to the border? Well, no, but she hadn't been to Europe either at the time. And that was just blown off. She's not a capitalist. And last week, she's allowed to state that she's a capitalist, and there's no pushback on it. That was a joke. It was unbelievable. She's at some sort of function, and she's speaking, and she says, well, you know, I'm a capitalist. No, you're not. You're not a capitalist. You believe in bigger government. You use the term government will invest. Government doesn't invest. Government spends money. They spend taxpayer money. You're a warmonger. You want more money to go to Ukraine. And at the same time, you're a proponent of buying oil from Russia. And guess what? Those profits that Russia receives for selling oil to the United States go to fund the war to fight against Ukraine. And then we're giving hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine so they can continue with their money laundering scheme. Let Zelensky stand on his own. This is not the United States' war. But I find it really interesting that the United States war, okay, is funding this war with Ukraine. Did you know that Ukraine, prior to this war, was the largest supplier of fertilizer to the African nation? Yeah. And what did Joe Biden and Kamala Harris do when the African Union stated that they were going to start manufacturing fertilizer for their farmers so that the African farmers can grow crops and grow food to help feed their fellow Africans? Well, the Biden-Harris regime, led by Joe Biden, they told the African Union that they can't manufacture fertilizer because of the climate crisis, and that the United States will give them an additional $2 billion, which was total of $12 billion, and the European Union gave the African Union $1 billion not to manufacture fertilizer. Why? Because Agenda 2030 of the United Nations and the Paris Accord, okay, have declared a climate crisis. So, wait a minute. President Trump is said to have signed on to Agenda 2025, which is absolutely false, but we now know that Biden and Harris signed on to the United Nations Agenda 2030, and they signed on to the United Nations Paris Accord, the climate con that's going on, to extract more money from the U.S. Treasury. Biden-Harris denied the African Union the ability to manufacture fertilizer so the farmers can grow crops in Africa. Why? Because Ukraine used to be the chief exporter of fertilizer to the African Union. And because of this prolonged war that should never have happened, Ukraine is not producing any fertilizer. You see, all of this nonsense that's going on right now, and the U.S. media is complicit in harboring an idiot, a malleable moron, Kamala Harris. The fact is that they, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, have signed on to the extreme and radical United Nations Agenda 2030. They have signed on to this without Senate approval. The U.S. Senate must approve this. And they have unilaterally implemented this. They have unilaterally implemented the United Nations 2030 agenda without the U.S. Senate approval. Why? Because they know the U.S. Senate would never approve it. Why? Because Article 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution states that the U.S. Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and only the United States Senate can approve the treaties. And here we have it once again, the systematic dismantling of our constitutional republic. One, through the subversion of language, bypassing the U.S. Constitution, such as Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution, in protecting American state, the U.S. states from invasion. And Kamala Harris, as border czar, did not prevent the invasion of American states. They even facilitated the invasion. They sponsored the invasion by flying in illegal, unvetted, unvaccinated aliens into cities and states around the United States, into cities that we don't know, although we have found out one of those was Springfield, Ohio. The amount of stress that Biden and Harris have placed on cities, on towns, on states as a result of swelling the Medicaid rolls, the social services expenditures, is causing so much pain that states and cities can no longer afford. And their budgets have been busted. And how about, was it yesterday or last week or last Friday, I believe it was, the mayor of New York now has been indicted by the Biden-Harris regime? Isn't it kind of funny where you've got Mayor Adams, who's been pushing back against the sanctuary status because illegal aliens have flooded New York City and now crime is out of control, the city is becoming a shithole, and he's speaking out against it, please don't send us any more illegal aliens, I'm sorry, migrants, and suddenly, you know, Eric Adams now is the center of attention with regards to, you know, illicit activities with Turkey, of all places. Al, isn't it ironic?
Yep. Well, Adams is a good little soldier, a good little Marxist socialist soldier for the Democrats, and the 1 second that he got out of line, look how quickly they turned on him. So let that be a lesson to all Democrats listening tonight. Stay in line or pay the consequences.
Yep. And he's paying the consequences of it because this regime, this Dementia Joe Biden, Kamala Harris regime are vindictive people. They are vindictive against their political enemies. There is absolutely nothing wrong with making America great. But because that moniker is on the Republican side, Republicans are fair game to this corrupt regime, the Biden-Harris regime. And through the subversion of language, they are co-opting the headlines, and the U.S. media is complicit in the role of aiding and abetting the Harris-Waltz regime. I just think it's disgusting. I mean, I know this all started with billionaire Oprah Winfrey not calling out Harris for misquoting Benjamin Franklin, and it's glossed over. You know, just the way it was glossed over when Dementia Joe continually and intentionally was misquoting the Declaration of Independence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. He said all men and women are created equal. That's not what it says. That's not what it's been. It was written in 1776. You know, these people are dangerous. And FBI agent Dan Smoot was absolutely correct in 1966. You've got this subversion of language that wants to take individual liberties and freedoms. And, hey, John Kerry is another example of assaulting the First Amendment. And once again, where did John Kerry make this assault on the First Amendment? He made it at the World Economic Forum. Now, if you go to our, if you're at our BTR location, we have some pictures that you scroll through, like, you know, Kel and Paul. It's an old nice old picture, but you'll see some photos, okay? And one of the photos is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. And Benjamin Franklin, the quote is really simple. It states, a republic if you can keep it. When he was asked what type of government was formed, a republic. Not a democracy, a republic. And the reason why our founders wanted a republic was to protect individual liberties and freedoms. And, you know, listening to Chameleon Harris when she talks, she does a great job in subverting language and distracting you, and then she throws in democracy. And Klaus Schwab, okay, who is the founder of the World Economic Forum, is also a dangerous individual. And you got to wonder if, in fact, the World Economic Forum is part of this New World Order, since those that oppose America's constitutional republic enjoy making their statements at the World Economic Forum. You know, Klaus Schwab, the founder and chief executive chairman of the World Economic Forum, made this statement. The pandemic represents a rare but narrow window of opportunity to reflect, reimagine, and reset our world. And I believe that's why it was incumbent upon the powers to be to install Joe Biden and Kamala Harris as president and vice president, to reimagine and reset America. You can't draw any other conclusion when you have the president of the United States, who's been in government for over 50 years, intentionally misquote the Declaration of Independence. And now we have a vice president who intentionally misquotes our founder, Benjamin Franklin. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's a consistent deception by Biden and Harris. And now John Kerry goes to the World Economic Forum this past Wednesday, the climate con man, and he's railing against free speech. And our founders were clear in the Federalist Papers, the protection of free speech, the ability to disagree. But you see, the extreme Democrat Party, because that's what they are. The Democrat Party is extreme now, okay? They are anti-constitutional, and in my book, they're anti-American. And we've already seen it at the start of the Biden-Harris regime in the Department of Homeland Security with the creation of the Ministry of Truth Department. And they had this Yahoo, who was going to be the head of the Ministry of Truth, who was going to be the arbiter of truth. And just like John Kerry, they want the government to determine what speech is disinformation and what speech is misinformation. And they see the First Amendment as an obstacle. The First Amendment is an issue to them. Listen, here's John Kerry in his own words at the World Economic Forum attacking free speech in America.
You know, there's a lot of discussion now about how you curb those entities in order to guarantee that you're going to have, you know, some accountability on facts, et cetera. But look, if people go to only one source and the source they go to is sick and, you know, has an agenda and they're putting out disinformation, our First Amendment stands as a major block to the ability to be able to just, you know, hammer it out of existence. So what you need, what we need is to win the ground, win the right to govern by hopefully having, winning enough votes that you're free to be able to implement change.
Did you get that, Al? The First Amendment stands as a major block to be able to just, hammer it out of existence. Since when is the First Amendment a major block to free speech, to dissenting speech? Since when is it a major block? And yet there's no pushback on climate con man Kerry and his rally against free speech in America. This is what the Democrat Party stands for. John Kerry is representative of the mindset of the Democrat Party. They have tremendous disdain for our Bill of Rights. They don't like individual liberties and freedoms. And this speech, just this past Wednesday, was an indication of how the Democrat Party looks at free speech in America. The First Amendment stands as a major block. That's the mindset. This is what tyrants do. This is what authoritarians do. It's not what happens in a constitutional republic. If you take nothing else from this election, the fact is that the Democrat Party stands for democracy, which is oppression, which degenerates into a dictatorship. They want to take your individual liberties and freedoms, including your freedom of speech, your freedom of religion. They want to take the Second Amendment away from you, which is the right to bear arms. Oh, my God. What? And they're brazen about it.
Well, the First Amendment is the foundation of our republic. As you said, the First Amendment is more than just the freedom of speech. It's the freedom of religion, where Congress can't make laws that establish a religion or prohibit its free exercise thereof. Freedom of speech, where the government generally can't punish truthful or honest speech, even if it's offensive to some people. And we know that that's under attack. However, there are some exceptions, such as fighting words, threats, and obscenity, of course. You've got freedom of the press. The First Amendment protects the right to express oneself through publication. Freedom of assembly. The First Amendment protects the right to peacefully assemble. And right to petition. The First Amendment protects the right to petition the government of grievances, which is huge. Without the First Amendment, our republic would fall. In fact, we're seeing that now. They're going after the First Amendment piece by piece or brick by brick until our house falls. Kamala Harris has already made it a point that she wants to get rid of the filibuster in the Senate, which is a huge deal, and that would take – she is essentially wiping out advice and consent, which is also a foundational part of the Senate, to where they debate bills and laws and things were meant to slow down and debate. So our republic – will make laws that have been both sides have debated it, and then compromises are made, and then laws are made. Harris wants to get rid of that so she can just ram through whatever she wants, which falls in line with her communist and socialist leanings that she was born with. Her father was a communist professor. Her mother was a physician. She was no middle-class kid. She was way above upper middle class. So she even lies about that. Oh, and she didn't work at McDonald's either. That's another big lie.
What?
But without the First Amendment, what I just said, if she was president and in power, I would be in trouble, likely in jail, for she would say that she could make the case that I was misrepresenting facts. And then I would get thrown in jail. The First Amendment, however, gives me the right to speak my truth. And I challenge anybody to research that and then get back to me. But everybody sees things from two different points of view. That's the First Amendment. Like you said, that's what separates us from a dictatorship. And that's what's under attack. Except the media, 95% of all the stories about Donald Trump have been negative, and brainwashing over the years a constant 95% negative story after negative story from the press, which in most cases we're conditioned to listen to and believe that that is true, that what they say is true has been researched and fact-checked and sourced, double, triple-sourced for accuracy. Those days are long gone, and the media, with their 95% negative stories about Trump, is essentially brainwashing the American people who listen to that, because you can't help it after all these years. It sinks in, and it happens when you're not even paying attention. You don't even realize it. So, yeah, the First Amendment is one of the most important amendments within our Constitution, next to the Second Amendment, which allows us to carry arms to protect the First Amendment, and without the Second Amendment, we would be helpless. Our founding fathers were brilliant. I just wish John Kerry, it's almost treasonous how he
yes.
speaks negatively about the Constitution, lies about our Constitution, which is the framework for our government. It's okay to disagree with our government, but to go what he's doing is way beyond critique. He wants to destroy. Words like that are a destructive force for our Constitution and our unique American culture and our founding documents. There has to be some repercussion for that, whether it's public shaming. I don't think he should be thrown in jail for it, but there should be some shaming. But when you have the media as a part that supports him, will never say anything negative. Like I said, what they did to Mayor Adams is a good example of the one moment you do step off the reservation. Anyway, just an observation on the First Amendment.
No, that's good, because, you know, the issue of subversion of language is important, because John Kerry went on to state, and I'm not going to play the whole 3-minute clip, he says, "I think democracies are the very challenged right now and have not proven they can move fast enough or big enough to deal with the challenges they are facing." And to me, that is part of what this election is all about. We will break the fever in the United States. And I'm thinking, when he said that, I'm thinking, what fever is con man Kerry talking about? What fever are you trying to break in the United States? Is it the fever of the First Amendment, and you want government to control speech, just like the Biden-Harris regime instituted the Ministry of Truth under the Department of Homeland Security because of the anti-American Mayorkas would be the soldier that falls on the sword and continue to bypass the U.S. Constitution? I mean, is free speech a fever? Is that what the Democrat Party is most concerned about? The Washington, D.C. syndicate is most concerned about free speech in America because of shows like this or Joe Gibson, you know, that talk about free speech and give our opinions. And because we don't like the way the government is manipulating the American people, we don't like the way the DNC news outlets like ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, NBC are manipulating the news, even NPR, National Propaganda Radio. And you know something, with NPR, it was no more evident how they were manipulating. And I don't mean to jump to another subject, but this is important, because people, you know, you may not get it with the speech issue. Okay, I know that the global patriots get it about speech issue and how the government wants to control speech. And the government under Biden and Harris came up with two key phrases, misinformation and disinformation. Suddenly, those became the prominent talking points over the last 3 years. It never had been before. But in order to control speech, you had to give it a moniker, and you had to give it a title, disinformation. Oh, disinformation. You know, that's like hate speech. Yeah, if you don't agree, if that's hate speech, if you don't agree with somebody. Well, that's another way to subvert the First Amendment. But NPR, National Public Radio, get back to them, National Propaganda Radio, the Israelis, okay, who have been under fire since their inception in 1948, and of course since the founding of Hezbollah and Hamas, two organizations which were, have been declared terrorist organizations by the United States government, October 8, 1997, both Hezbollah and Hamas were declared terrorist organizations. Okay. Israel has been enduring terrorist attacks by Hezbollah and Hamas. And one of, or I should say, Hezbollah's chief terrorist, who was the leader of the attacks on Israel from Hezbollah terrorist forces, Hassan Nasrallah, assumed room temperature 2 days ago. And he met his 72 virgins. Well, NPR thought that they would write a fluff piece praising Hassan Nasrallah and his 26-year reign as leader of Hezbollah. And that's nothing but that is the furthest thing from the truth. Nasrallah was a strong and ardent supporter of the annihilation of Israel. And yet National Propaganda Radio, NPR, writes a piece defending Nasrallah's leadership, okay, of Hezbollah, a terrorist organization as designated by the United States government. What is wrong with the media today, Al? I mean, National Propaganda Radio, financed by the American taxpayer.
Well, they support Iran, just like our president does.
Yes, correct.
And right after Nasrallah was killed, 80 tons of ordnance, bunker buster bombs, were delivered in a precision airstrike by the Israeli Air Force. Two jets dropped bunker busting bombs, two different trajectories that were just millimeters different. So one bomb went in, one came right after it, and it got all the way down into the bunker where Nasrallah was with 16 to 20 other high officials for Hezbollah, wiped them all out. Nasrallah's successor was announced to be Hassan Khalil Yassin, Hezbollah's head of military intelligence, and Israel eliminated him the next day. The message is clear. Hezbollah cannot exist any longer. So kudos to Israel with this absolutely phenomenal show of military force and strength.
Absolutely. I mean, at what point will the West understand that Islamists, devout fundamental Muslims, want the Israelis dead? They don't want Israel to exist. There is a reason why the United States government declared Hezbollah a terrorist organization on October 8, 1997. So for 27 years, this organization, Hezbollah, this terrorist organization, this Islamic terrorist organization, has been declared a terrorist organization. And suddenly there's a love fest by National Propaganda Radio for Hassan Nasrallah? Oh, hey, we got a phone call. You want to take it?
Yes.
All right, here we go. I think we got the Viking on. Yes.
Hello.
Good evening, Hoser. How are you?
I am good. You guys are knocking it out of the park today.
Thank you.
Great show.
So we're not like White Sox. Yay!
Oh, by the way, the LPGA Walmart tournament winner.
Yes.
Suwana Pura.
I knew that.
Suwanee.
You make it sound so easy. I couldn't pronounce it if my life depended on it. One more time for the slow kids.
Well, I'm secretly in love with her, so it's Suwanapura.
Suwanapura, okay.
God.
Thank you.
And, you know, I'm sitting here, and I was like, you know, I know they're gonna get to the whole Hezbollah, Hamas, da 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 da, which I couldn't wait for. But you guys are just hitting on everything, and when you got into this whole thing with Kamala Harris and her, you know, changing the definitions and the quotes and all this kind of good stuff, you know, I thought to myself, what is the deal with Americans electing these presidents who have this communist background, okay? I mean, Barack Obama was mentored by a guy by the name of Frank Marshall Davis, okay?
Yep.
Because Barack's old man, like, you know, ran away as soon as he found out he was going to be a papa, okay? So, and if I'm not mistaken, you know, Obama's grandparents, his mother's parents, were communist as all hell. So he's being raised by two grandparents who are communists, and he's being mentored by a guy by the name of Frank Marshall Davis, who was a openly communist. Okay? So back when Joe Biden was going to get the nomination to take on Trump, he went through this whole process of naming a vice president, and he said that he was going to name a woman. Okay, he narrowed it down to that. And the reports that I had read just after he had made his choice was that he was very much leaning towards Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan.
Michigan, okay.
But that he was talked out of it by Barack Obama, who wanted Kamala Harris.
Mm.
Now, you could make the claim that, you know, Barack felt a little close to another biracial person. Or could it be the fact that Kamala Harris's father was a communist?
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought to myself one day when I thought about this whole thing, I mean, obviously Kamala Harris was born in America. She was born in Oakland, California, so she was born in this country. But, you know, people don't understand. Her mother got here. Kamala was born in 64, okay? Her mother came here in 58, just 6 years earlier from India, as a student. Her father got here from Jamaica in 61, also as a student. Now, my question is, were either of them even citizens when Kamala was born?
No, they were not.
I mean, not everybody comes to America to go to school and, like, instantly turns into a citizen, right?
Right.
So her father is a communist Jamaican when she's born. And just coincidentally, she's up for president. It's just kind of a head-scratcher. But I wanted to add one other thing for you, and I'll get off here. You had mentioned that every week you play that clip from Dan Smoot.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to let your audience know that Dan Smoot wrote a book called The Invisible Government.
Ooh.
And so anybody that ever wants to understand how this whole idea of globalization, how this whole idea of one world government, the New World Organization, anybody wants to, you know, dig into how that originated, that book will tell you, because it was all based upon the Council for Council on Foreign Relations that was formed in America in 1921. Now, I'll give you guys both a guess as to who was president of America in 1921.
Let's see. Was it Woodrow Wilson?
Ah, there we go. He goes to the head of the class. So Woodrow Wilson's term ended at the end of March in 1921. In July, so just a few months later, just coincidentally, the Council on Foreign Relations forms at that time. And basically, the Council on Foreign Relations is like the great-great-grandfather of the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to go to Amazon, you know, just look up Dan Smoot, Invisible Government. It's like $9.20 for the paperback. Awesome. My final point here is this whole thing. I was on Twitter X a lot this weekend. And after reading this endless stream of posts hailing the hero of Lebanon, Nasrallah, people painting him as a saint, you know, actually probably as close as any human beings come to Muhammad would be Nasrallah. I've come to the conclusion that we don't have to be concerned when we get to heaven that it's going to be overcrowded. Because I saw about 100,000 people on X this weekend that ain't going to see the inside. And, you know, what drives me nuts is all of this banter about Israel, you know. The genocidal maniacs from Israel doing this, doing that, the Gaza genocide, this bombing of Hezbollah, this attack on Lebanon, and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, you know, 98% of these people are Americans, okay? So nobody associates this stuff with America, okay? Nasrallah's Hezbollah in 1983 killed 231 of our Marines in Beirut. They drove a truck full of TNT into the Marines barracks and killed 231 Marines. Okay? So they took out Nasrallah. That leaves 230 we're owed.
Thank you.
The other thing is this, is when we actually had a president running this country a few years ago, he took out this guy by the name of Soleimani, an Iranian, and pissed off Iran a little bit, all that kind of good stuff. In fact, to the point where Iran is still plotting Trump's assassination because of that and so forth. But what people don't understand is Soleimani in the Iraq War, if you recall, American troops were having a tough time because they were getting hit by IEDs, okay? Mm-hmm. Improvised explosive devices. So Humvees and other vehicles were running over these IEDs, and, you know, they were taking a lot of our guys out, okay? Well, we fortified our vehicles. We added more armor. They started to become kind of inconsequential. Those IEDs, the blast kind of goes in all directions and so forth. So all of a sudden, in the Shia section of Iraq during the war, all of a sudden they saw all of these American troops are getting just absolutely massacred by these IEDs. So when they look into it, they find out that they're not using IEDs. They're using EFPs, which is an explosively formed penetrator. And so it's basically an IED that is redesigned so that all of the power from that explosion goes in one pinpointed direction, so it's based upon penetrating. So it'll penetrate even a tank, even a Bradley.
Gotcha.
And that's what they were using. It was designed by Iran. It was given to the Shias in Iraq to use against American forces, and the guy that was in charge of the project was a guy by the name of Soleimani.
Huh.
And they killed over 200 American soldiers using those EFPs. So these people that get on X and bitch and moan about what Israel's doing, you know, obviously those American lives don't mean shit to those people. And where I come from, when people kill American servicemen and women, you got a price to pay for doing that. I'll end with this. Back in the good old days, I used to blog, okay? In fact, if you go to holdyourawakens.blogspot.com, that blog is actually still up. I couldn't believe it. It's actually still up. But in that blog, I would, every time I put up a post on the blog, I would tag it, you know, with whatever subject it was about and stuff. And it lists on there the number of articles that I wrote in regards to each topic. So the first one, the biggest one is videos, 7,140. That's just because I would put up a video and all that kind of stuff. But the second one was Taliban, 1,127. Pakistan was 1,008. And the fourth one was Israel, 929. So that shows you how many times I wrote articles about Israel, how much I defend Israel, how much I mean, for a Christian, I have stood for Israel all my life. And then if you went through that blog and you searched all those Israel things, you would find a number of times where Holger lost his bloody mind when the Israeli troops were in a war in Gaza and they didn't wipe these fuckers out from Hamas. I would just go crazy because it was just turn it into a glass parking lot. You know, how much can you take from these people?
Yeah.
So the events of October 7th were the worst thing I think I've ever experienced. I mean, 9/11 was bad, but the torture and the alt-right murder of those Jews in Israel was beyond. So I have been absolutely in hog heaven here the past few weeks with what Netanyahu is doing to these pigs. And I tell you, I got into a tirade on X this weekend, and I mean, it was just, I'm surprised I'm still up there. But, you know,
well, as of right now, it looks like Israel is having ground operations going into Lebanon with the goal of making it safe so the 60,000 Israeli citizens that are on the border can go back to their homes, because they have been evicted from their homes for close to a year now.
Yep.
Because of safety issues. So now Israel's going to go in, and approximately their goal is to go in about 10 miles to this river, and then once they secure that, then hopefully there'll be some quiet.
So yeah. I have to tell you, Bigfoot put a note in the chat room. True story, when I met Holger on 11-11-11, he was carrying an Israeli flag. So Bigfoot can confirm that. You are a supporter of Israel. And you know what's ironic about this whole thing, you know, with the attack on October 7th, 2023, and you go back to 1997, you have both Hezbollah and Hamas being designated terrorist organizations by the United States government, and that designation hasn't been removed since 1997. And also what's occurred from 1997 to current times is the terrorist acts against Israel by Hezbollah and Hamas have continued, and of course they metastasized greatly on October 7th, 2023, and yet there's support by National Propaganda Radio, NPR, for Nasrallah. There's support by these ignorant American students, and we have devout fundamental Muslims in Congress who support terrorist organizations. I'm flabbergasted by this, that these people aren't ostracized from society for their acts of treason.
Well, in the if I'm not mistaken, and Al can correct me here, but if I'm not mistaken, if you are a Muslim, you are not allowed to use alcohol or drugs. Am I correct in that?
Alcohol is considered haram, and that's why Muslims don't eat pork or drink alcohol.
Okay.
Many do, though. Many do.
So I guess my point is this, is Hezbollah has been around for a long time. Hezbollah, of course, gets money from Iran to fund their terrorism, but their terrorism is sophisticated. I mean, when you look at their weapons versus what Hamas has got, it's like a joke. Hamas is like, you know, throwing rocks compared to what Hezbollah's got. So Hezbollah needs a lot of money. They need a lot of money. And Hezbollah, for years and years and years, has been known as one of the biggest traffickers of cocaine and hashish in this world. And all these Muslims are on X, going, oh, Nasrallah is a gift of the Prophet, you know, slinging cocaine, selling cocaine to buy bombs to kill Jewish babies. That's what a bunch of men, huh?
Yep.
And by the way, just as I close here, thanks to Bigfoot for remembering that flag. I should also point out that in 2009, when I went to Washington, D.C. to be one of the 2 million people at the march there against Barack Obama and his Marxist government, I was wearing a T-shirt. It didn't say Make America Great Again. It didn't say Trump. It didn't even say the Tea Party. It said, this is what a Zionist looks like.
Good for you.
That's great.
Christian Zionists are the greatest friends of Israel these days. Yeah. So thank you. You're on the right team.
Calling people a Zionist is about as effective as the Muslims have been on using as they have been using Islamophobia. All right, that's all I got, guys.
What? Well, hey, before you run, a story popped up that we mentioned earlier on. New recruits for the Minneapolis Police Department include the first non-U.S. citizen, Leslie Vera. Wanted to be a police officer. She was 27-year-old, born in Mexico, came to the United States at age 4 and grew up in Minneapolis. While Vera is a legal permanent U.S. resident, she's not a citizen. But thanks to a recent change in state law, Vera was finally able to walk across the stage Thursday evening at the Minneapolis Police Department's latest recruit graduation ceremony. How do you feel about that?
Well, welcome to the world of waltz. You know, the people of Minnesota have been bitching and moaning for years about Tim Walz, and nobody would listen to us. Nobody cared about poor old Minnesota. We told you guys this guy was a full-fledged Marxist, and now people are finding out. And Tim Walz is like, okay. He was one of the first governors to push for driver's license for illegals. So every person illegally in Minnesota has no papers, has a driver's license now.
And what's the
rationale? You're a non-citizen. That won't stop you from being on the police force. You don't have to be a citizen for that. You don't have to. At the same time, the non-citizen became a police officer. They actually swore in their first female Somali officer. Our first male Somali officer didn't work out too good after he killed a white woman from Australia in cold blood in an alley in the middle of the night, and
we
subsequently got
that
fired.
Tragic. That travesty.
But this is Minnesota now. This is full-fledged communism. This is, Tim Walz is one of the first governors to come out and issue an order that nobody working in the Minnesota government, state government, has to have a degree. So there's no job that requires having a degree. So, when your tax refund doesn't show up and you call up and you want to bitch at somebody for, where's my tax refund, when you're talking to the Minnesota Department of Revenue, and the guy's like going, I'm out crappie fishing right now. I'll get back to you. Thank Tim Walz. So if anybody hears my voice tonight and is even considering voting for Tim Walz, you are in for a world of hurt.
So what do you think of the debate
Elon
tomorrow?
Elon Musk made the brilliant observation that in Rome, ancient Rome, the beginning of the downfall of the Roman Empire began when they started having non-citizens become part of their military and government. So let that sink in.
Well, you remember when Tim Walz didn't call the National Guard in to on the night of the Floyd riots, when half of Minneapolis burned down and his wife had the windows open so she could smell the tires burning and get off on it. When asked why he didn't get the National Guard involved, he basically said that most of them are just a bunch of cooks anyway.
Cooks. Got
so,
it.
I mean, he is so out there. I can't even describe it. He's like a combination between Barack Obama, Al Franken, and Hannibal Lecter. He's like if you rolled those three into one. That's kind of what he's like.
So how do you think he's going to do in the debate tomorrow?
I mean, he's not a dumb guy. I mean, he's probably going to be prepared and all that kind of good stuff. And I don't exactly have a J.D. Vance T-shirt that I wear around town and all that kind of good stuff. I could actually care less about the debate and all that kind of good stuff. But the fact is that the reason nobody knows about Tim Walz is because this guy has a media in this state that absolutely has coated this guy in 60 levels of Kevlar. I mean, there has never been anything, Tim Walz was putting COVID patients in nursing homes before Cuomo was. Wow, he's got the second highest number of deaths from COVID at nursing homes, second only to Cuomo. And it never got out because the media in this state is absolutely Pravda.
Hmm.
Well, hopefully J.D. Vance will be able to bring these facts that have been 86th for all these years, bring them out to the forefront, because Tim Walz also is known for having an explosive personality and that he could explode at any minute, and that it's a hair trigger. So hopefully J.D.
Well,
Vance
and
will
that's
be able
what
to...
I was going
to
say. One thing to look for, and hopefully Vance will do this, because Vance seems to be kind of a good guy to poke the bear. Walz gets really, really, really uncomfortable when he gets put on the spot. And there's a famous interview with him up at the state capitol from years ago where a reporter kind of ambushed him, or actually a legislator, a Republican legislator ambushed him and said, you know, you won't even talk to me. You won't even see me. I make appointments with your office, and I get there, and you aren't there. And they say, no, he decided not to meet with you and all this kind of stuff. He just gets all over his case, and he's filming this. And Walz just, his face got as red as a tomato, and he just storms away like a little kid. So he could show... He could show you something at that debate. He might, if he gets rattled, he doesn't handle it well.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Because Kamala had to pick somebody dumber than her or less politically astute than her. Cause she's a moron, so he's even lower than Kamala.
Oh, I mean, Josh Shapiro would have run circles around her. I mean, she couldn't get Josh Shapiro on there. I mean, that would be like putting, you know, Reagan with Romney. You know?
Good analogy.
I mean, they needed somebody, you know, they needed a dumb, fat white guy. You know?
Yeah, a circus barker is what he is.
Yeah. Okay, boys.
So what do you think of one, and I have one last question, what do you think of the Michigan-Minnesota game this past weekend where Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota was wearing and donning Michigan gear against his own state's team, college team, and then flipping, giving the bird to the people, the fans?
Yeah, I don't know. Did you see the photo of him flipping those fans off? Was that on CNN anywhere today? I didn't see that.
You know what? No, it was not. I think they must have missed it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. So it's like, so you know, one heartbeat away, here's a guy, you know, because the one fan had the nerve to actually yell out, Trump 2024, and he gets the bird from the potential VP candidate.
Yeah.
How's that? I mean, so what's his reaction going to be on the world stage when he goes to the G8? You know, he's going to flip off the frickin' Russians, or is he going to flip off the Oh, man.
Well, hell, the Russians is something we haven't spoke about now that long-range munitions seems like are maybe a U.S. munitions may be fired deep into Russia. We're on the precipice of World War III and the Ukraine-Russian conflict.
Well, I mean, can you imagine Kamala Harris and Tim Walz managing the Russia-Ukraine thing, the China-Taiwan thing, the Israel and the whole Middle East thing? I mean, can you imagine them trying to manage all of that?
No.
Oh, my God. Okay, I got to go.
All right. Take it easy, Holder.
Thanks,
thank
guys.
You.
Appreciate the time to
call, Holder.
All righty. See ya.
Adios.
Well, he brings up some good points, certainly, and you know, the issue of Hezbollah and Hamas being declared, you know, terrorist organizations by the United States government, and yet you have the government radio, NPR, taxpayer-funded radio, having this love fest with Nasrallah, and trying to justify the terrorist Nasrallah's existence, who led, you know, the attacks from Hezbollah on Israel. Why? Because he wanted Israel destroyed. That was his belief system. He was a devout fundamental Muslim. He believed in the word of Allah. And somehow the apologists of the state, you know, run news media, NPR, have other ideas. So, I mean, does that go to, you know, Climate Command Kerry's point about the virus the fever of free speech? I mean, I'm trying to figure it out.
Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, you know, is this the fever, the sickness that the left wing wants? Because they want to be the arbiter of truth, and they're the ones that believe in controlling speech. And, you know, this major roadblock, because this is the sickness of NPR, who has legitimized an Islamic terrorist, who heads a terrorist organization that was declared a state sponsor of terror by the United States government, October 8, 1997. And they've not been removed from that foreign terrorist list. I'll tell you.
They continue getting money.
Yeah, they continue getting money, exactly. And you know what the sad part is? I do feel bad, and you have to feel bad for the citizens of Lebanon, because many of those, the majority of citizens in Lebanon are not of the Islamic faith. What is it, like 50% are Christian? And they're having to live under these rules of terror. And, you know, I think the world now is a better place with Hassan Nasrallah gone, as well as his number two man. And we could also thank the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris regime for reinvigorating and helping to refinance and to finance the reemergence of the theocratic terrorist regime of Iran. Because it was President Trump who had had Iran reeling along with Russia as a result of being energy independent and ostracizing Iran to the point where the Ayatollah was becoming very, very unstable because of the financial stress that was being placed on them, because they could not act in a terrorist fashion. But thanks to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and refunding Iran, it enabled Iran to regenerate their treasury and then to regenerate their acts of terror and sponsoring acts of terror. I mean, look what happened, right, Al? Hamas, funded by Iran. Hezbollah, funded by Iran. The Houthis, funded by Iran. And what have the Houthis done since Iran now has refunded the Houthis? They've attacked Saudi Arabia in Saudi Arabia. They have attacked our trading ships, at least two of them, and Biden-Harris did nothing. They've attacked Israel, the Houthis. So now you've got the three countries of terror, or I should say the three terrorist organizations, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Hamas in Gaza, and you've got the Houthis in Yemen, who all are funded by Iran. So this has been this regime, The Joe Biden, Kamala Harris regime has been awful. They have been terrible. And this is what we're going to continue. We want to continue down this road of failed international policy. We didn't even get to the domestic policy side of it. The international policy side's in flames. You have the continuation of the, you know, the Russia-Ukraine war, and it just came over to the news feed that dementia Joe Biden's giving another $8 billion to Ukraine. $8 billion. Now think about it. If you're sitting in North Carolina and you have 3 feet of water that you're watching and still in your house, you're going to be refreshed to know that Joe Biden has just given $8 billion to Ukraine. You know, the people of Georgia who have been impacted by Hurricane Helene, the people of Florida impacted by Hurricane Helene, the people of North Carolina impacted by Hurricane Helene, and Joe Biden, who's still nowhere to be found, okay, other than stating that they gave all they could give, just is giving $8 billion to Ukraine. See, this is the priority of the United Nations agenda. This is what Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama meant by his statement, the fundamental transformation of America. This is why they are so opposed to Donald J. Trump. And it is why the Washington, D.C. syndicate is so opposed and making it their mission to destroy Donald Trump so that he can destroy anybody who supports making America great. They want to destroy our constitutional republic, and they're supporting the United Nations agenda. And by the way, I just came over to the line, Pete Rose just passed away at the age of 83. Son of a gun.
No way.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's sad.
Boy, he was a great catcher, wasn't he?
Third baseman.
A little. And I was thinking of Johnny Bench.
Johnny Bench, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, Mr. Charlie Hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pete Rose, wow. Yeah, so, you know, here we have the assault on our constitutional republic. From all sides, on the international side, it's been one chaos after another as soon as Joe Biden and Kamala Harris stepped into the White House. We've seen it at the border, and the collapse of the border, which was all by design by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Barack Hussein Obama. And then Barack Obama's fundamental transformation of America, it hit a little bit of a wall from 2016 to 2020, but boy, they made sure that the communist Chinese got involved by releasing the Wuhan virus, and now they, even Nancy Pelosi, when she was corrected, she talked about how you know, Trump had the worst job creation ever, and you know, to, I don't know, I think it was on CNN, to their credit, the host said, well, there was a pandemic in 2020. Well, that didn't matter. Well, what do you mean that didn't matter? Of course it mattered. Because prior to the pandemic, America was experiencing strong economic growth, including job growth. And when it hit the wall, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris didn't create jobs. They were the benefactors of America being shut down. They were a benefactor of the world being shut down as a result of a pandemic. Those jobs were not created, okay? Those jobs basically were people going back to work. There is no job creation by the federal government. And then we find out that the Biden-Harris regime have been lying about the job numbers. They had to revise the job numbers down by 800,000 this past year. 800,000. You see, this goes back to Barack Hussein Sotoro Obama really quick, Al. Sorry. There was a job, 1 month job reports that there were 84,000 jobs created that month. And the unemployment rate went from 3.3% to 3.0%. Now, that is impossible. It is statistically and factually impossible to drop the unemployment rate by 0.3% as a result of creating 84,000 jobs. And it turns out that they had to revise that number the next month. And unemployment was actually still at the 3.3%. And it's the same with these liars that are in Washington, D.C. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Obama alumni team, okay, falsifying records and embellishing on the unemployment numbers. And as a result of the pandemic, people now are going back to work or have gone back to work over the last 3 years, and you've got Joe Biden taking and Kamala Harris taking credit for job growth, which in fact they never did grow jobs. They are not capitalists. They are social Marxists. They don't believe in free enterprise. They believe in government enterprise. Kamala Harris is not a capitalist despite making that claim last week. This is just a fraudulent regime who wants to systematically dismantle our constitutional republic. And they are doing it right before our eyes. They've adopted the United Nations 2030 agenda. They've adopted the extreme Paris Accord. And they are beholden to a world body. And they want to distract you and me, okay, from their adopting the UN Agenda 2030 by making a false claim that President Trump supports this Agenda 2025 by the conservative think tank, Heritage Foundation. Implemented. They, Biden Harris, have implemented the United Nations 2030 agenda without senatorial approval, without government approval. They bypassed the U.S. Constitution. And they have committed treason with regards to Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And the U.S. media is complicit in shielding Kamala Harris, who is not qualified to be dog catcher of the United States.
And you go back 5 short years when our energy situation was much different. The United States of America was energy independent. We were a net producer and exporter of fossil fuels due to fracking, and Iran was in big trouble financially. They couldn't do anything.
Right.
They could barely take care of themselves, much less finance terrorism. It was only after President Trump was removed and lost from office that Biden came in, reversed every Iranian speed bump in policy against the jihadis of Iran, and he flipped it and started giving them money, and then the destabilization of the Middle East soon followed within 2 short years. And that is why we are where we are at now.
Yeah, and look it up. In September of 2023, what did the Biden-Harris regime do? They released $62 billion of assets to Iran. And 1 month later, Israel is attacked by Iran-backed Hamas. So, you know, you just start connecting the dots. We have a rogue and out-of-control government right now. We have a government that does not believe in the United States Constitution, does not believe in individual freedoms and liberties. They believe in government control. And Kamala Harris and Tim Walz are the perfect Marxist pair to undertake and to implement the final demise of our constitutional republic. And they'll do so. They've lied. They will cheat, which they've done, and they will steal. And unfortunately, who loses? The American people lose. And that's why they are so threatened by Donald J. Trump, and they're threatened by the American people as we rally around someone who believes in the United States of America, someone who believes in our constitutional republic, someone who believes in individual freedoms and liberties as bestowed upon our founders, as written in the Federalist Papers. Don't take our word for it. Read the Federalist Papers. Read Federalist number 10 and how clear Thomas Jefferson and Alexander Hamilton were in writing the Federalist number 10. The only time democracy appears in our founders' documents is under Federalist Number 10, and they did not want a democracy. James Madison knew that a democracy always degenerates into a dictatorship, and it's why our founders formed a constitutional republic. Well, folks, thank you for joining us, and I'm glad that we were able to air today, and I'm sure, you know, Minister Simon-Dakduk and Hank had a difficult time in airing their shows this past week because Blog Talk Radio is suffering some technical difficulties. But you can listen to Hank this Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank Jones and Poly Sports. Christy, More Truth About Islam, Thursday evening. Check out Christy's show. And on Saturday, Christy is back with Minister Simon-Dakduk, revealing the truth about Islam, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Other shows on Blog Talk Radio include Andy Southern Sense Talk Radio. She's on at Friday afternoons at 1 p.m. Eastern Time with her great sidekick, author Curtis Bennett. They air from 1 to 4 p.m., 3 hours. Andy does a great job. I think you can also follow her on YouTube and Periscope. If you want a break from politics and you want a great self-help show, check out the Simone Nicole Show, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesday at Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com, and that is BTR's sister station. Another great patriot is Audrey Russo of Real Talk Radio. Check out Audrey's show. Go to AudreyRusso.com, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. And her great sidekick is Mr. P. She does a great job. She usually has three guests every Thursday. So check out Audrey's show. And Joe Gibson, who was in the house earlier, he's got a show Tuesday evenings, Restoring Our Republic at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And Al and I will be back next Monday evening at 6 p.m. Al, tomorrow, October 1st, man. September is gone. Oof.
Quick.
36 days till Election Day.
I know. So make up your mind. Vote Trump.
Listen, you know, and certainly, you know, we've been a proponent of President Trump. Don't mean to be a mouthpiece for him, but, you know, we have a dangerous issue that's coming up, and the dangerous issue is Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. They are two devout fundamental Marxists. They don't believe in individual freedoms and liberties. They believe in authoritarianism. And whenever you've got these politicians talking about democracy, you know that the ulterior motive is a dictatorship. And Dan Smoot is absolutely correct in that. I want to thank Bigfoot, our big patriot. Check out Bigfoot. Go to www.bigfootsplace.blogspot.com. It's a great blog spot. I read it every day. Check out the pictures this past week while Big was in Arizona. It's great American history. It's very refreshing. And Big, thank you for, you know, charting your trails and your escapades along America's Great Plains. So thank you very much for what you do. Ducky Northwest, Ducky gets a Mama Mia, no Sharia, first in the chat room. And we had Bringing On Boy in there. And thank you, Hank, for the call. Thank you, Holger, for the call. And thank you, Sue from New Mexico, for joining us this evening. Al and I'll be back next Monday evening. Al, any parting shots?
Have a safe week. Adios, amigos. See you on Monday.
Hey, I'm glad that you guys are safe down there in Florida. You know, I know the hurricane hit the West Coast and the Panhandle, so, but thankfully you guys, you and Hank there, were safe down there, so glad you weren't affected by it. So,
thank you.
All right. Frank, you'll take us out. God bless you guys. Thank you all out there in podcast land. I appreciate your support. And we'll continue to give him hell. We got 36 days. Donald Trump, President-elect 46. Ciao for now.
Yes, it was my way. Oh,
close.
Right on the number.
Hey. Wasn't sure we were going to be able to get the show out today. Man, I'm glad it did.
It was a mystery, and we got lucky. I was expecting the worst.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was rereading Federalist Paper number 10, and I was hoping that we would be able to air today. But, James, this is I know this is not the whole thing, okay, but here is towards the end of the Federalist Paper number 10, his writing. Hence, it clearly appears that the same advantage which a republic has over a democracy in controlling the effects of faction is enjoyed by a large over a small republic. It is enjoyed by the union over states composing it. And I thought, you know, when you read the whole thing, it comes into context, but here you have James Madison stating the advantages of a republic over a democracy. And you have these politicians like Chameleon Harris who continually refer to America as a democracy.
That's what they hear. It's the media. They nonstop for the last, I don't know, 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the Democrats refuse to say republic because it resembles Republican. So the Democrat Party became the Democratic Party, and everybody says it, Republicans and Democrats alike. Democrats took blue all of a sudden. They used to be red, but red was associated with the communists, so they switched it to blue, and the Republicans just took it. So now Republicans are red, Democrats are blue. Because they're communists and they know symbolism and the power of it.
Ah, that's right. Symbolism over substance, and that's what Kamala Harris is a representative of. Symbolism over substance. Just like I'm looking at, there's a photo that Kamala Harris is supposedly receiving a briefing on the hurricane, right, from her phone, except the wire from her earbud is not, she's got a wire, okay, earphone, and it's not connected to the phone. But the photo op gives the appearance that she's receiving a briefing on the hurricane so she can look presidential. I mean,
yeah,
it's symbolism over substance with these bastards.
Well, the technology with hearing aids is they can hook it up Wi-Fi to your phone. So you can listen to phone calls through your hearing aids.
Gotcha.
Which I didn't know about. I learned about that this week.
It's
not
just
to say that's what happened during the debate, but
yeah.
Where there's smoke, there's fire, maybe.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. Yeah. You can't leave anything anymore untouched because they will lie, cheat, and steal, and that's the whole thing with the Democrat Party. It's symbolism over substance, and it's why, you know, Kamala Harris, basically, she was afraid, okay, to go to the Al Smith dinner. You know, no one talks about that. You know, the media hasn't made a big deal of that. Can you imagine if President Trump said, well, I'm not going to attend the Al Smith dinner? Oh, suddenly he'd be anti-Catholic. He's afraid. He's a coward. But the cowardly Chameleon Harris, she's not going to go to the Al Smith dinner that's been attended by every presidential candidate since Kennedy and Nixon. And of course, the media sanitizes that as well. She's
well,
a fucking coward.
They just didn't report it. Spiked the story. And you're right,
did.
It was a big story, and I forgot about it. The news didn't even hit the radar screen. They just ignored it.
They ignored it. There you go. That's exactly right. They ignored it. And it's a huge story because you know what? The story should be that Kamala Harris, this is the Archbishop of New York. So she dishes
So she has an issue with Catholics? Is that what it is? So Kamala Harris doesn't like Catholics. So if you're a Catholic out there, why would you even vote for the Marxist Tim Walz and Kamala Harris? When in fact, Kamala Harris now confirms that she is anti-Catholic. She can't stand on her own 2 feet. She doesn't have the sharpness nor the mental acuity to think on her feet in that situation. And, of course, what they're afraid of is she's going to look bad. And so she can't have any negative press at this time. So the best thing to do is to keep her away from all events and all press so that they, the powers that be in Washington, D.C., can give the illusion of Kamala Harris being presidential-like, like the phony photo op on Air Force Two of getting a briefing for the hurricane, or the phony photo op of her at the border where suddenly the border czar found out that there's a southern border that's in trouble thanks to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden.
And what did she do at the border? She was there
20 minutes. Yeah, she was basically for photo op.
Yeah,
that
hurt.
Yeah, that was it. That was it, actually, Al. That was it. She didn't do anything at the border other than they took photos of her, and then they portrayed with a bunch of Border Patrol agents, and these Border Patrol agents are in at the symposium in San Diego. From what I read, they were in San Diego at a symposium, and they see their picture up with Kamala Harris. And they said, well, we weren't there. What do you mean you weren't there? We weren't there when that picture, what they said, when that picture was reportedly taken, we're here in San Diego. We didn't meet with her. It was an old picture. And they this is the kind of symbolism over substance that they're deceiving the American people with. And the media is complicit. The media is enabling the lying and cheating by Kamala Harris. And I tell you, I would have never thought that the media would descend in this type of deceitfulness as they've done so, because they're so partisan and they despise Donald Trump. But it all goes back to the Jerry Nadler manifesto, right? How we resist Trump. Never give Trump the benefit of the doubt. And that's exactly what they're doing. They are absolutely sticking to Jerry Nadler's 6-page manifesto, and they're doing it once again. And they're using Kamala Harris as their puppet in order to do so.
Yeah, well, they hate us too. As much as they hate Trump, they hate conservatives, and the hatred runs deep.
Well, you know. And my theory is, and I know this is conspiracy theory by some will say, but today's ruling, okay, by the FCC was very interesting, okay? And it was very interesting in a couple of ways. BTR has been down a whole week, technical difficulties. BTR has managed to keep the conservative voices off the air with the little liberal voices they have, okay, liberal shows they have, they can use it as collateral damage, okay? But today, the FCC, and I hope that there are lawsuits out the ass with this, they ruled without any type of investigation in favor of a George Soros-sponsored 200 radio stations that George Soros will control. And the FCC ruled on it without any type of exploratory judgment or something. I didn't get the whole story on it, but apparently they bypassed all kinds of rules and granted Soros-owned stations, the 200 of them, the control that he needs. And so now this guy can disseminate false information, and the Biden-Harris regime just bypassed the courts on it. It's like, wow, pretty cool.
Speaking of the First Amendment and the 200 stations, I mean, George Soros, he's the guy who bought the DAs and prosecutors in just about every major city.
Mm-hmm.
and throwing our judicial system on its head, because the police will go out and arrest criminals, but then they won't prosecute them. They put them back out on the street, and the police risk their lives capturing these criminals, and then they go back on the street committing chaos. And then addition to that, this defund the police is the other side of it. So now they're demonizing the police, so they won't do their jobs, all in the name of chaos, and wildly successful. So buying these radio stations, now that satellite radio, Pandora, and all the streaming services are lowering the value of radio stations. It used to be really expensive, and now you can get them for, half price to less. And George Soros is snapping them up, 200 of them. Now all of a sudden you control the airwaves. Doesn't take a creative mind to see the power in that.
No, it doesn't. Soros-backed group wins FCC approval, Biden administration approval for takeover.
Mm-hmm.
So the Soros-backed group wins Biden administration approval for takeover of 200 radio stations. The Biden regime is fast-tracking approval for the transfer of more than 200 radio station licenses from bankrupt broadcaster Odyssey to a nonprofit controlled by George Soros' radical philanthropy empire, raising breaking with establishment procedure to push the deal through. The FCC voted 3-2 earlier this month to allow the restructured Odyssey, Inc., now controlled by the Soros-funded nonprofit fund policy for policy reform, to maintain over 200 broadcast licenses as it emerges from bankruptcy proceedings. Monday, the commission released the text of its decision, which has drawn considerable scrutiny from Republican opponents concerned about the involvement of George Soros and his son, Alexander. So there you have the state sponsor of terror. I'm sorry, the state sponsor of propaganda will be George Soros. And it'll be an anti-Trump movement the last 36 days by George Soros. Thank you to Joe Biden and his corrupt Vice President, Kamala Harris. They're doing anything and everything they can to really destroy our constitutional republic.
Yeah. That is well stated.
Fast track.
Counselor?
They fast track this. They haven't done anything on fast track. Nothing on fast track. But when George Soros gets involved, suddenly the Biden regime, the Marxists get together and they stick together. And it's exactly what they've done here.
Yeah, and conservative talk show hosts, they own the AM spectrum.
Mm-hmm. And you wonder why BTR was down for a week. Son of a gun. Technical difficulties.
They should be immune from those types of pressures. But I guess, the tentacles of Soros probably goes way up the food chain of, iHeartRadio. Maybe... Who owns BTR? Is it a radio station?
No, they're individual investors. There's four. Yeah. I think there's four people, and they all have ties to New York. So, I'm just curious about Odyssey Radio. And you know, you're talking about I bet you that they're situated, and they are. It looks like in Pittsburgh. They've got where are they? You know, you got New York, Seattle, Washington. Well, Washington's already a communist state. Chicago, so that takes part of Illinois. Massachusetts, okay. That's not a republic. It's the Marxist state of Massachusetts. Imagine that's where the shot heard around the world emanated from. Louisiana. Buffalo, New York, St. Louis, Missouri, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Well, there you go. Minnesota's already gone. Missouri, San Francisco, California, South Carolina. Pittsburgh, Miami, Florida. So they'll turn around Radio Libre, and they'll turn that into a left-wing rag. And so those people who fled communism or who are now in Miami, they'll know exactly what communism looks like, especially when George Soros and company take over these radio stations. So, yeah.
Got to hand it to them.
Yeah.
And where's our Speaker of the House? He's not doing much speaking.
No, he's not. No, he's not. I mean, this should be, seriously, when you're allowing an anti-American like George Soros and you fast-track this, the federal government fast-tracked this, they've fast-tracked nothing. I mean, it's time for an anal probe of George Soros and his family's assets and where and what their interests are, and let's see what they've done as those political whores have destroyed societies every time George Soros has gotten involved, like he did in the UK and in Russia, and was thrown out by Putin as a result of trying to corner the oil markets in Russia when Russia fell. He's a cancer. He truly is a cancer. We've seen it firsthand with his sponsor of DAs and state's attorneys around the United States and what he's done to the rule of law in America.
Mm-hmm. They're kicking our ass.
Yes,
they
are.
We're the opponent. He's communist.
Yeah. All right.
Communist.
Well, 36 days.
Four-letter words.
Go ahead. It'll just be between me and you. All right. Well, have a good evening, Al.
All right, you too. Great show. I'm glad it aired. And
yeah.
I had my doubts, but me being the eternal pessimist.
Well, we did it. So, by God, by Jove, we did it.
Oh, yes. Oh, boy.
All right. All right. Well, have a good evening, Al. I got to go, too. Oh,
you
wait.
Too.
Sue's
have
got
a great week.
Hold on. So Sue's got her hand up. Hold on. Let me put it. Hey, Sue.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, Ginger TV, which I watch, they just put out a notification that Israel has started the ground war just now. Oh. So they're moving tanks and everything into, I think it's Beirut. But if you go to YouTube, Agenda TV, he will be covering it all night. He's got three or four different news sources, and he will have live coverage of it. But just about 5-10 minutes ago, I got notification of that. And that's all. I just wanted to let you know.
Okay. Is that – you said Agenda TV?
Yes, I'll tweet you the link to it.
Okay.
That is AGENDA, I think it's -TV. But he's really been covering this, and he's got three or four different sources. He will be showing a lot of, live shots from what's going on. That evidently this just started.
Interesting. Ooh.
Well, we knew this was coming. At least Israel is attacking when they are weakest and not stopping. So
I hope they do it. Anyway, I'll let you guys go. I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you, Sue.
All right, Sue.
All right.
Have a great
care.
Week.
All right, Al, we'll keep watch on that one. Maybe time to get Dottie back on next week, huh?
Oh, yeah, if he's available, that'd be excellent.
All right. I'll give him a shout. All right.
Okay. All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Have a good one. And
all right.
We'll get Porky Pig out of here and take us out.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Fusey Ballcock.